Newsman, welcome back for another week.
Yes, looking forward to the upcoming podcast.
The upcoming podcast, what are we going to look at? Well, there was some big news, there was some little news, there was some medium-sized news.
Yeah, we like to carefully select our topics so they're both entertaining and kind of newsworthy.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair call?
Yeah, fair call indeed. We're going to look at a man you very correctly labelled as FBI fool.
Yes. It wasn't quite murder on the dance floor, but...
It almost was.
It almost was. And for anyone who knows me, I love a good dance on the D floor, but this is ridiculous.
Went wrong. If you've seen the viral video during the week, it was almost an instructional video on what not to do when you're on a dance floor.
And what not to do when you're an FBI agent.
Yeah.
In the same sentence, yes.
Also, we're going to go a little left field, follow up a wacky story about a time traveler who has miraculously got stuck in the year 2018 when, in fact, he's from 6,400 and something.
If only we could go back in a time machine and unsee this story, because it's a bit,
You're not a fan.
It was a bit silly, but... It's always good fun to talk about time travel and what may or may not be.
Well, he's been scientifically put to the test to prove his claims. We'll see how he fared with that.
Good, good.
Also...
Hold him to account.
Yeah, you can't just make claims willy-nilly. Expect us to believe it. I love coffee. You love coffee. Mm-hmm. A new flavour coffee getting around this week, which at first glance sounds awful.
Yes, I don't think I'll be lining up for this one, but you never know. I am a follower, so I probably will.
Well, there must be a reason why they have produced this abominable concoction.
Yeah.
Geez, that was... never try and say those two words.
No, I've found out in my job that best to just keep words 2 to 3 syllables max, but you did well. You smashed it.
All right, so that's what we're looking at. Stay tuned. Join us on the journey. It's one newsman and a web guy. Oh boy, newsman, doozy this week where an FBI agent accidentally shot someone while he was dancing at a nightclub.
Yeah, I've seen the video of this web guy. It is pretty cool dancing, I must admit, but it's what follows that really is concerning and pretty lucky in the end.
You can tell he rates the moves. Like, he's in this sort of situation where he's in the middle, group of people around him, egging him on, you know, probably giving him a bit of a chant, and he is just... doing a solo dance, all eyes on me.
We've all been there. The newsman and web guy Christmas party, we were both on the D floor. You can just get carried away in the moment, can't you?
Well, but he is just going solo.
Like, he is.
He's in the middle of a ring around him, and he's got some moves. He's doing this pretty weird wobbly leg thing. I don't even know what you'd call it. It's a bit of a wobbly knee deal.
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm about... quantity, not quality, when it comes to dancing. So if someone is expressing themselves, I am not the person to cast a stone on their style or technique. I'll just put that out there.
No, that's good to say that. And I'm not judging him either. He even finishes the whole thing off with a backflip.
Yes.
No mean feat.
Which is very cool, but basically the downfall in the whole situation.
Yeah, at this point, as he does the backflip, we learn that he has had a pistol tucked into the back of his pants this whole time. And as he does the backflip, the gun flies out, lands on the ground. So he's been doing this whole dance routine, including a backflip, with a pistol in his pants. You have to wonder what he was thinking, why you would do that. I don't know. But anyway, the pistol is now on the floor. He, at this point, pretty quick, he straightens up pretty quick and he's like, oh, okay, there's my firearm. He's an FBI agent,
yeah,
for goodness sake. Grabs it and it goes off. So, oh boy. And in the video, you can see a flash as a bullet comes out.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't remember. So, he actually grabs for it and that triggers it. I thought maybe the impact of it hitting the ground or something. But he actually touches it.
He grabs it, and that's when it goes off. And everyone, you know, just packs their pants. And someone in the crowd was actually shot. Hit a man in the leg. So, FBI dude, busting moves, accidentally shoots a guy. How lucky is he? Well, how lucky is everyone that it just hit this guy in the leg? He's going to be fine. He went to hospital. He's got a freaking bullet wound, but he's going to survive. You know, how easily someone could have been killed in the most absolute ludicrous way ever.
We need more of the background, don't we? Because was he on... Like, is he always on duty? Is that why you always have your gun? Or did he... Was he investigating something and, you know... Like a movie script, someone said, oh, have some of this in a red plastic cup, and then things just got out of hand? Or
was he embedded in a hip-hop group as an undercover breakdancer? I don't think so, because there's, according to one former FBI agent who's familiar with the rules, he's saying this guy, potentially in trouble for a couple of things, he says a number of potential violations, administrative and otherwise. I would have thought shooting a person could be put towards the top of the list of things he's in strife for. This, he says, is a great example of clearly why you should not be what you should not be doing if you're armed. So, to your point, I think this guy's saying doesn't matter. Like, whatever the situation was, doesn't matter. You have a loaded weapon in your pants. You probably don't go doing backflips on the dance floor. Probably don't even get on the dance floor.
No. I'm guessing at FBI school, though, when they went through gun safety, they would have gone, oh, do this, don't do this. I don't think there would have been the chapter dance floors and...
and your weapon.
And weapon. And your weapon.
Yeah. No, I don't think they need to discuss that. It's just pretty much a given. I wonder if it says something about the attitude in the US towards guns, that maybe it's not even... Why would you even think twice? I mean, how many other people at this nightclub were probably armed as well?
Yeah.
He probably wasn't the only one on the dance floor with a loaded weapon in his pants. I don't know, but he was the only one who discharged his weapon and apparently the only one who's an FBI agent, so should have known better.
Have you had much experience with firearms, Tim?
No, I really have not. I'm racking my brains. No, I really don't think. Like, you know, maybe on a farm as a kid, like someone's dad shot one or, you know, like just in the context of a farm, maybe at some point I've seen a gun or something, but that would be absolutely it. Yeah. And I'm not even sure that I have seen one.
Yeah. It feels like firearms in America are so commonplace that most people wouldn't be fazed by seeing a gun. I think the only time I may have used one at a friend's property, like a BB gun, but it still, sort of shocked me a bit.
Hang on. That's not even a gun.
Oh, well, he used to shoot sparrows and stuff.
But it's a BB gun. It's not even bullets. It's...
Oh. Anyway, I also shot a sort of, what would you call it? Not historic, but it was a rifle in Vietnam. Like it was sort of a historic tour of the jungle and stuff, and you got to fire at a thing. And that scared the living...
You shot a rifle?
Yes.
Wow, on a tour in Vietnam.
Yeah. And like it sort of took my hearing away for a while and a bit of a kickback on the shoulder.
Yeah. Now that you mention that, I have actually fired a gun at a firing range. I have been to an indoor firing range.
Okay.
Reminding me of that. And I did also discharge a loaded spud gun at one point in my younger years as well. So I wasn't going to mention it, but after you said your BB gun story.
Anyway, I feel like there's a totally different cultural feel to both Australia and America where we've gone through life with very little experience. And
oh, yeah. Even cops here wouldn't get out on the dance floor with a loaded weapon, though.
No. And it just, without knowing the intricacies of a firearm, I would have thought jumping up and down, just doing anything volatile with it anywhere on you, so close to your body, is just recipe for disaster.
Yep. Don't go there. Newsman, I'll put a scenario to you and you tell me if you believe or if you disbelieve a time traveller has this week gone semi-viral, maybe fully viral, let's call it, in a video. He is from the year 6491, and he sat down for a videoed interview with a YouTube channel. And not just any old interview, but he has been hooked up to a lie detector test because, you know, anyone can say they're a time traveler. He has gone under a lie detector test and passed every question with flying colours.
Well, there you go. We've got a time traveler in our midst.
Now, I'm a skeptic. I'll put my hand up.
Yes.
I'm skeptical of anything until I see the evidence. And when I look at this one, I think, okay, first off, did he actually pass the lie detector test? All we're told is that he did. So you got to take the YouTube channel's word for that. But then, more importantly, there's two possibilities. He actually is a time traveler from the year 6491.
Yes.
Or he's learned how to fake a lie detector test. Which is the more plausible?
Yeah, I think you're in the right corner on that one. As far as I understand a lie detector, it picks up all the vital signs, physical signs of lying. But if you believe what you're saying, I assume it doesn't pick it up because you're not lying if you believe it 100%. So he could be totally delusional and not necessarily lying.
Well, if he is passing the test because he does not believe himself to be lying, oh, he would need medical help. Mm. You would think he's in a bad way. Unless he is perhaps another possibility. He's learned to convince himself. I mean, bottom line, he knows it's not true, but he is able to work himself into a state where his body responds as if, you know, he actually does believe it. That's, I don't know, I'm getting caught up, but yeah, interesting. All that aside, a couple of other holes that people have poked in this whole story. One, the story the time traveler tells, which is of him flying through time and then his time machine broke down. And that's why he's actually stuck here in 2018. A lot of people have noted very similar to the plot of Back to the Future.
Yes. Well, a lot of people know that plot back to front, and pretty simple one. Yeah, the time machine breaks down and the adventures that ensue after trying to fix it and get back home.
He did accidentally yell out McFly at one point during the interview. I think that was a tip off that maybe he is just repeating the lines from the movie he's already seen. Also, casting some doubt on this, if you are a time traveler from 6491, somehow you're talking to us now in 2018. Why or how do you have a British accent? Can you explain that one?
Yeah, and he was wearing a hoodie. Didn't look too futuristic.
Maybe he's trying to assimilate. Like, he might have got out of his futuristic jumpsuit.
As is done in Back to the Future.
Oh. So the accent, though, like, I'm not sure how long he claims to have been here for.
Yeah.
But, weird that he would be speaking with a British accent, I think. Unless, again, he's just trying to, you know, assimilate into the crowd. But, yeah, the YouTube channel is a kind of outlet for conspiracy theories, paranormal stuff. So this is right up their alley.
Yeah.
I'm not sure really how legitimate they are.
Why can't a time traveler ever bring back some proof? Like a really cool piece of technology. To be honest, I think we have covered time travel previously in one of our very early episodes, and someone brought back a photograph, which is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see, like, you know, some sort of very cool technology that just blows us away and says, yes, this could be true.
Yeah, just like some levitating piece of glowing green matter that we've never seen before.
Exactly, exactly.
I did have a quick look after seeing this for other time travelers, and yeah, maybe this is the one you're talking about. A lady time traveler claimed to have returned from a trip to Mars, and she had a photo of Mars. Weirdly, the photo was blurred out in the video I saw, along with her face.
Right.
So okay. Hard to kind of, you know, probe into that when she won't even fully show the photo. Yeah, are they really travelers, or are these just some crackpots?
No, they're just appealing to people like me that would click onto a video just in case this story has bypassed every other major news service and only appeared on this particular website.
So you want to believe?
I want to believe, but nah. Hey, web guy, have you ever been on a lie detector yourself?
No, you?
I haven't, but the thought of it put me into a cold sweat once. I was doing psychology at university and we were somehow, I guess it was about human behavior. And the lecturer said, right, we're going to get a lie detector in tomorrow and we're going to give it a test. And I don't know what it says about my character, but I was
deeply worried
that they were going to ask a probing question about my life and the machine was going to blow up when I lied. In reality, only one or two students got to be hooked up and it was very rudimentary and it was all about, you know, what is your age, what is your name,
okay,
and then a couple of other things. But, yeah, the truth can be frightening.
I don't think they just ding, like, green light, red light. You know, you've got to interpret all this data.
Yes.
I don't think it's as simple as just yes or no. Like, you've got to interpret that data and make a decision. So, you know, there's some gray area. But they've made TV shows before where they film people hooked up to these things and then ask them questions about their personal life while their, you know, partners are watching or things like that. And it's insane. Yeah, it's crazy. Good on them for doing it. But you don't see shows like that anymore now that I think about it. Couple of lessons this week, Newsman, about how to take something pretty great,
yes,
and make it terrible.
What are you talking about?
You've got one that I heard you speaking about this week, a new flavor coffee.
Yes. So researchers, I'm not sure which university it was, but they're looking into making a broccoli latte, a form of coffee. So a couple of teaspoons of this powdered broccoli is like the equivalent to, I guess, your daily requirements of broccoli for, you know, for the day. Stir it into a latte and there you go. I guess it'll have a green tinge. Not sure about the flavour though.
I don't know what to say. I mean, on face value, it sounds appalling.
Yes.
Do you think the broccoli, first of all, is it broccoli or broccoli?
Yeah, I don't know. Go with broccoli.
I'll go with broccoli. Do you think the flavour seeps into the coffee? It must have some.
This is the big challenge, isn't it? You don't want it tasting like veggies, really. Surely if it's a latte and there's caffeine in it, the coffee taste outweighs the broccoli, hopefully.
Yeah. I get the idea of, you know, just dosing up on the good stuff that's in broccoli.
Mm.
All for that. It's got to be packed full of, you know, awesome stuff.
I have a feeling they might have just tried to grab headlines because broccoli powder itself, as you said, stir it into any drink. Maybe that's the option, but
you have just nailed it because also this week we're getting told to try out there's a new Vegemite flavoured smoothie.
Oh, gee.
Which again made some headlines, probably mainly online. I'm not sure legitimate news sources really ran with it or traditional sources ran with it. But dubious of Vegemite. Vegemite, I think, have been running a long-term campaign to generate headlines by combining their product with other outrageous options, like the Vegemite-flavoured Cadbury chocolate.
That's right.
Going back away. And now these smoothies, it's a ruse. No one is going to try these abominations. It's just a way to get in the news.
Oh, really? See, I thought perhaps in today's economic climate, they're always looking of ways to diversify and really spread their product as far as they can. Bad pun, I know. But I think possibly your argument's more plausible.
Well, I mean, these are always a story because it's like, oh, that's so disgusting. The whole point is, what a revolting idea.
Yeah.
Vegemite-flavoured chocolate. And then I guess maybe you got a couple of, like, probably Vegemite plants who are saying, no, guys, I think it's great. And then you've got all of a sudden this debate about, oh, would you try it?
Isn't Vegemite one of those weird foods that on butter and toast in the morning or for a sandwich during the day, fine. But you put it in any other scenario and it's disgusting.
Well,
it's like it's a loved item, yet we're all repulsed by it in any other scenario. Except for toast and
interesting
butter.
Because the most of the world would say that even on toast it's revolting.
Mm.
It's really only, it's a very localized thing.
Yeah.
And as a product, it is definitely looked down on by anyone else who ever hears of it or, you know, tries it for the first time. Repulsion is probably the initial response to the product. We've somehow grown accustomed to it on toast.
I've seen lots of memes and Facebook posts about generally people that are trying it away from Australia who are not Australian are like spreading it thick like you would jam or something really. You got to be sparing. You can't go nuts with it.
No, they've got. They don't have a clue. There needs to be instructions that come with Vegemite. The only combo I feel has ever worked is adding cheese to the Vegemite.
Right.
On the sandwich, even on the toast. That is complimentary, I've found in my personal experience.
Run us through it. I've never really gone Vegemite cheese. I know that's sounds amazing, but is it just gives it a bit of softness to tones down the Vegemite? Or?
No, you can still taste the Vegemite. You can still taste the cheese. It's sort of like if you've got a Vegemite sandwich, you know, sure, it tastes great. Just feels a little weightless.
Right, okay.
Put the cheese in there, you've got a sandwich with a bit more heft to it.
Your terminology brought joy to me there. That's good. I liked it.
So you got a bit more of a weighty sandwich now, but at the same time, the flavours, yeah, they do work well. But again, outside of Australia, I'm not sure you'd get much agreement.
What is it with coffee that people want to tweak it and make it really cutting edge? I guess it's such a popular product at the moment. It always has been, but it seems really trendy now to be on the cutting edge of something new in the coffee world.
Yeah, like to try that coffee that's been passed through the lower intestine of some animal.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Is it bat poo coffee or
something like
possum
that.
Poo or something?
If that's not available already, I'm sure it will be in the coming weeks.